Rowena Bear on SAFM.
Now, around 2.5 billion people in developing countries do not have access to basic sanitation. And this is the cause of some of the biggest environmental and health problems facing people living in poor communities, like water pollution and the transmission of diseases and infections. Dr. Santiago Septian is research engineer, Pollution Research Group at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and he joins us now to share with us his thoughts and views on the challenges to sanitation and what prospects exist for improvement in South Africa firstly and in Africa as a whole. And you can also share your views with us by calling 0891 104207. You can SMS 34701. You can also tweet at SAFM Radio. And remember, SMSs cost you just a mere 1 rand per SMS. Good morning to you, Dr. Septian. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Rowena. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Now, talking about what improvements can be made, I mean, let's firstly talk about our own experience here in South Africa. There has already been some improvement since 1994. I mean, 50% of households did not have access to sanitation in 1994, and that figure has changed, or it had changed by 2010. That number was reduced to 21%. But we can still do more, right?
Yes. In fact, we have improved the situation of sanitation in the country, but there is a lot of lack. And actually, in fact, there are still places where we have to put sanitation facilities, and we have to improve the sanitation facilities that exist already to make it more used, to be more accepted, and or maybe find improved toilets. We also have to manage a better disposal of the waste, because for the moment it's our only challenge of the disposal of the human waste. So there are still many challenges. There is a big effort which is doing by municipalities, by the government, but still they have to do a lot of efforts.
Okay, and we'll talk more about the different challenges that you are outlining. I'd like us to do that. But the 21% of South Africans who still don't have access to basic sanitation, why? What are the challenges?
For a person that doesn't have sanitation.
Yes. What are the challenges to providing sanitation to those South Africans who don't have?
For example, for a moment in many places, it's difficult the access because it's growing. Maybe it's for example in case of Durban, it's growing too fast.
What is growing too fast?
The settlements, the population, the urban settlements, and the problem is that and in these settlements we try to relocate the people in housing, but the expansion is very fast growth. So the municipality tried to react to this growth, but this growth is always like a step in advance. So so that's why we have implemented a lot of we're implementing a lot of new toilets, and we're making many research projects about how to improve them and how to improve the waste disposal. And so that is with the university, with international groups, organizations. But this human factor is very difficult really to manage, and especially because this very growth expansion of people that in the densification. So the area is not only grown and expanded, but also the make more and more dense. So the densification is also another challenge that, because when the settlements are more dense, the sanitation, to put sanitation becomes a little more challenging, more difficult. And now it's what I say facing.
Mm. All right. And apart from the issue of urbanization, which I think we have a very bad line, Dr. Septian, so it's a little difficult for me to make out part of what you're saying, but you're saying urbanization is the biggest challenge that we face. We've got so many inhabitants moving to the centers, and we've got all these informal settlements there that are also developing around these centers, and obviously there's no proper sanitation there, and that is the biggest issue. And how do municipalities deal with this? I mean, yes, we have a problem or a challenge of urbanization, but that is the world over. So now that we have this challenge, how do we work around it?
In fact, I want to tell you the case of Durban, because it's a case that I know well, the cases I know well. So as I told you, the Tikuni municipality is putting toilets in the areas, but not only this, he's also making partnership with the University of KwaZulu-Natal and other academic institutions like the Durban DUT, it's Durban Institute of Technology, and he's making a strong partnership because like this to study to implement. Like this, the implementation of the toilets is going to be the best thought. It's going to be well thought, and with the advice of the with the university, the academic, the researchers. So each toilet is going to be studied in the point of view social, but also in the point of view technical. Like this, how to improve the where to put the suitable toilets. And how to manage the transportation, the disposal of the waste, find technological solutions for the disposal to reduce the not consider the human waste like a waste, but not to change this focus and this is corpus and see the waste as a valuable resource. So reuse the waste in a way to, for example, maybe fertilizer or can be for production, so the for electricity production. So the Tikuni municipality has made a strong partnership with the university, and not only with the university, but also with other institutions in South Africa, in other universities, other research groups, for example, University of Cape Town, University of Johannesburg, also with national institutions like the Water Research Commission that supports us to make for the financial researches to improve the situations in here in the municipality, and also with international institutions. We have agreement with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that to test different technologies that they have funded them, and to build a laboratory that is going to be specialized in sanitation. And this laboratory is going to be like a reference standard to be replicated in Africa, at first in Africa, and why not after in the world. And so the municipality is developing all these partnerships, strategic partnerships that are also international, like for example Swiss research groups, also European universities, American universities. So it's a big partnership. Also, sorry, I forget to mention also the ASEAN. There's also partnership with Indian universities from Thailand. So it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge, but with a deep research and collaboration, the municipality is trying to go forward.
All right, and I'd like to know more details about the programs you speak about, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation programs, sanitation programs that you alluded to. But talk us through the different options that are available to us in South Africa and what the implications are in terms of cost, or what are the cost implications, what are the maybe even the environmental implications and otherwise of those options.
Okay, for the cost, considering the cost is something that now we are working on, that's why it's in a state of research. Cost is one of the things that I think it's the reality. So, and for the moment, have the last few years have been extensive research in the laboratory, and now I think it's upgrading. So the factor of cost becomes more and more important. And so now we are going to try some pilots. In these pilots, we want to try to evaluate their cost in the next years. It's very essential years, a critical year, because it's the technologies that were developed and the ideas that were developed in the past that are going to be tested in the reality. So the factor cost is going to be there. I don't have details about this, about the costs. As I'm a researcher, for the moment I have not been too involved in the costs, but now it's going to be critical in the next years. And by sure, there is the environment. If we improve the sanitation, we will improve the environment, because for the moment, as the most of the toilets are not used correctly, or the waste is not disposed in a correct way, and not dispose the waste in a correct way means or can reflect in the diseases that can be spread among the population, so it can be a health risk, and also it can be contamination of the groundwater, of the river water, or the soils for agriculture. So we have to be very aware of that. So,
and what is the correct way of disposing of waste, and could there be seepage into the water that we drink?
Sorry, could you repeat the first part?
What's the correct way of getting rid of the waste, of disposing of the waste?
At the disposal of the waste, in fact, there is a lot of possibilities. Now we are expanding the possibilities. We are applying chemical engineering processes or biological process to dispose of the waste. There are many. But the most important is the first thing is to pasteurize. So it's the first, all the process has to be this part of pasteurization. Pasteurization can be by adding a chemical or by high temperature that also kill the pathogens, parasites, and virus. A microbe in bacteria, so it can be heat, it can be by adding chemicals, or it can be also by mechanical intensive steering. So this is after pasteurizing, the waste becomes not non-hazardous, so it can be managed, handled more safely, and then we can try to recover the nutrient fact. The feces and urine has an important nutrient content for agriculture. Very interesting, because this is the natural way this is the natural cycle of the waste. Is the people take food, and then with the feces and urine, they return the nutrients that the soil gives to the person. So it's a kind of returning to this natural cycle. But we'll try to apply some processes that are very kind of processes of different nature, different kinds. And with this process, we're going to try to optimize, to improve the best as possible the quality of the nutrient content of the waste, and then we can use it for agriculture or like a soil improver. But there is not the only possibility, because the problem is because there is a taboo, there is a big taboo around feces and urine, so nobody, even if it's pasteurized, even if it is processed properly, some people, because of this phobia, are not able or don't want to deal with fertilizer that comes from human waste. So it's a psychological factor, but it's very important that it's going to influence the market.
Mm.
So the thing is, the other possibility is to burn the waste, because the faces have a high carbon content, so it can be burned, the waste. And with the burning the waste, we can produce energy, electricity. And then with the ash, that is not anymore, it has been transformed, it can be valorized as a fertilizer.
It can be used
this
as fertilizer.
Other possibilities. Yes, this is other possibility in the sanitation world.
Mm. And which option should we be taking in South Africa, as in where we take our waste and why?
For the moment, here, so I will give you some examples. Now we are studying all the cases, so it's not like one case it's going to be winning. But I will tell you some projects that are in course or have finished in the Itiquini municipality. So, for example, there's a kind of toilet, dry toilet, that they are very spread in Itiquini. There are around, I think, if I'm not wrong, 60,000 of these toilets in Itiquini municipality, if I'm not wrong. And it's called urine diversion dry toilets. And these kind of toilets, there are two compartments, one for urine and the other for feces. And so there was a project to study how to valorize the urine from that we collect, because actually what we do is that the urine is disposed in the soil, which is not good because it can contaminate the groundwater. So if there is a groundwater not very far, a source very far. So in this project, the study from the social to the techno-economic aspects and the transformation and how to process the urine to get a fertilizer.
All right. Well, there's still so much to talk about. I must thank you very much for your time, Dr. Santiago Septian, Research Engineer, Pollution Research Group at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you very much for your time. In a short while, we're going to be talking to an entrepreneur who is very active in the sanitation space. Mr. Trevor Mulaudzi will be joining us in a short while. It's now 10:57 on Morning Talk on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader, and we're talking about the challenges that are faced in the sanitation space, especially in South Africa, and when we broaden that and talk about Africa, 300 million people lack adequate sanitation on the continent. Now joining us is Mr. Trevor Mulaudzi, who's a sanitation expert, to talk more about this. Good morning, Mr. Mulaudzi. It's a great pleasure to have you on.
Good morning.
And how did you get involved in this space? I believe you were touched by seeing pupils, school children, using a toilet in a shebeen rather than the facilities at school.
Exactly. That's what happened. Some years ago, in 1996, that's how I just by chance saw that the children were in the street during school hours, and I just got inquisitive and asked them, why are you not in the school? They said, no, toilet in the school is not working and dirty.
Mm.
Where do you find the toilet? They pointed out a shebeen. That's in a township of Kutong in Carltonville. And when I checked out the school, I found it was a disaster. There were feces everywhere.
Mm.
And I decided, if there's nobody who wants to do this job for children, let me do it, but I'll do it as a business.
So how did you get involved then? So what solutions are you providing in this space?
In fact, things have changed a lot since 1990s. I ran a very big company that cleaned the toilets for schools and public places and mines. But now I'm a lecturer at the University of Limpopo, and I'm teaching the same topic. I'm teaching how to build and clean public toilets and even reuse waste like urine and feces.
So you're a lecturer, and you lecture in how to clean toilets?
Yes, at a BSc degree at the University of Limpopo.
Okay.
I've got a BSc degree in water and sanitation, and I teach the part of toilets and human waste management.
And
what I'm teaching you.
Yes, and talk about that. Earlier on, we were talking to Dr. Septian about human waste management and where the waste goes. What are your views on what currently happens in South Africa and what should we be doing?
Whom were you talking? I didn't hear the name of the because I just stopped when I heard that you wanted to talk to me. Who is the professor you are with there, or doctor?
It was Dr. Santiago Septian.
Oh, I don't know him very well. But currently, like now, when we are talking, I'm at a research station here in Newlands, in Durban, where yesterday we had a conference or a symposium on what we call valorization of urine nutrients. So what we are saying is that most of the water we waste, because this thing of cleaning school ended up leading me to blocked sewer pipes in the streets everywhere. And when I started following these pipes, where is this sewer in the streets ending up? It took me to the wastewater treatment plant, what we call sewer wells. And I found that most of our sewer wells in South Africa, especially in Limpopo, are dysfunctional. So all the floods we do in our mansions, it goes to this place, but it ends up being dumped into the river, untreated. So our rivers are very polluted, as we're speaking now. And one of the biggest pollutants is urine, because we urinate more in a day than doing number two, sitting down. And if you look at our systems, we've got the systems which are maybe 10 liters. And if I go to the toilet 5 times a day just to urinate 100 ml of urine, I use 50 liters of water to flush very little pee. So we are saying this is a nutrient. Urine is a very important nutrient. We eat food which has been fertilized by chemicals on the farms. And we come on the table and we eat this food with a fork and knife. But we are also eating those fertilizers. And they get into our system. But fertilizers have got no nutrients. They just make food bulk. Then our body gets rid of that fertilizer through our urine. That's why you find that if you boil your pee in a tin, you'll find a white powder at the bottom. And you take it to the chemistry laboratory. You will find that it's just pure phosphorus and nitrates which are being mined in Phalaborwa, but we flush it in the water and it pollutes the water. That's what we are teaching. So we want to take urine from the homes, we collect it, we're running a program where we're going to collect the urine and feces separately, and we go and convert this into nutrients which can be used, fertilizers. Urine is a very good firefighter. We want to sell the urine to the municipalities. If you've got a fire in a house and you've got a tank full of urine kills fire 200% faster than water. And we don't know these things. In Moscow, in Russia, Russian professors are converting urine into diesel. In South Korea, they're converting feces into cement. But we are throwing these very important commodities into the water.
Do you think we'll get to a stage where we also convert these commodities and make them work for us?
I'm the leader in that sphere now. I've been trained in Moscow and in South Korea to do that. We are about to implement. Before the end of this year, we'll have finished our research. How much money do we need? And we need a lot of money because we have to import these technologies from Russia and South Korea. And we are calling everybody, business people, join us. Let's fight. Protect our drinking water. In fact, what we are even saying that we discovered that the flush toilet, which was made to stop people from practicing open defecation, has turned out to be a delayed open defecation technique.
All right. It's very interesting how you got involved and that you stayed in this industry. Many people would have walked away, but you certainly sound like you have a passion for the sanitation industry. And I wish you well. Thank you very much for chatting to us. Mr. Trevor Mulaudzi is a sanitation expert and he also lectures on cleaning toilets. It's now 11 o'clock. It's time for the news with Utsile Sako.